Welcome back to the BunnSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn, joined by the professor as we make our way through February in the offseason of college football, discussing a variety of topics. And last week we left off two college football topics that I want to hit on. Later in the show, we will also discuss a little Major League Baseball. Yes, Major League Baseball here on the program, as well as a number of other things. But we're going to start where we left off last week, and that is a proposal for an early signing period. There's been a lot of fire about this. Some of this is being put to votes, getting coaches' opinions about whether or not there should be an early signing period. So what are your thoughts on this? First of all, do you think it'll happen? And second of all, do you think it should happen?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think it's got a chance of happening, and I really don't have an opinion of whether it should happen or not. And I've heard different coaches. I think, by and large, Jacob, the coaches are not really wanting this. I mean, you know, they have their hands full as the season wears down. But an interesting comment that someone made, and I can't verify who said it, but they said something like this, that by the mid-December, which would be the early signing day, 80% of all the major commitments are already made. And out of those 80% of the commitments, 90% of them do not change their mind. So really...
So what does that tell you?
It tells me that majority of them has already made up their mind about where they're going to go. And so why not let them go ahead and sign?
The early signing period, you know, would obviously lock the recruits in at an earlier period. I mean, this is not rocket science. Obviously, you could probably figure that out. But you would not be able to recruit these guys once they make that signature there, whether it's in December or November or whenever they – I think it's in December when they want it to be. It's done. There's no recruiting anymore.
Right. I think there would be one advantage, and that I can think of, maybe many. I'm just thinking of one. You know, where these coaches, you know, like we saw the Smith that committed to UCLA and wound up signing with Georgia because the defensive line coach or coordinator one of UCLA went to one of the professional teams. Well, I do think that it would correct one thing, and that would be, let's just say the coach at one university spends 2 years building a relationship with a player. And then at the end of that time, the coach changes to, let's say he's at UCLA and he changes to Southern Cal. And then that coach takes that player, more or less, that he has spent as a UCLA coach, he has spent that time building a relationship with him, and he goes to another university, say Southern Cal, and then the player goes to Southern Cal. It just seems like that's not right. So that would eliminate that.
All right, so as we go forward here, and we look at this early signing period, we look at things from the prism of the Southeastern Conference, and obviously if it's going to benefit our 14 schools. Do you think this would benefit the Southeastern Conference? Would it give us another advantage? And I say us, obviously meaning the league. Would it give us another advantage? Or could it potentially give an advantage to these competing conferences and people like James Franklin, who've been very aggressive in recruiting the South?
Well, I don't know that it would give them an advantage at all. You know, it just seems like the people, the coaches and the programs that really do well, they change the rules and they do well under the new rules. So I don't know where the advantage is. It might be that they're looking at it to help the student-athlete themselves.
Last year, TCU finished ranked number 3 in the coaches' poll, number 3 in the AP poll, and number 6 in the final college football playoff poll. They had a sensational season, of course. Gary Patterson has done a fine job there. They absolutely destroyed Ole Miss 42-3 in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. They were the surprise team last year. I don't think many people saw TCU coming. They were good on both sides of the football, of course. Where will they be next year, I guess, is a question. But another question, who could be the TCU of 2015 and surprise us all?
Could it be one of the Arizona schools, out in the Pac-12? Or maybe it could be another one of the Big 12 schools. It's certainly not going to be Kansas. I'll just go ahead and eliminate them. But could it be Oklahoma State? That might be the team.
Well, and of course, we talked about Trevon Boykin and his impact as he comes back for his senior season this year and what impact he will have on that TCU offense. I certainly think they will be a contender. Let's move on to some other topics. You had brought up the new, of course, manager for the Chicago Cubs, Joe Maddon, and some thoughts on him.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. Of course, Joe Maddon has been one of the top baseball coaches in the major leagues for the last several years. And now Chicago Cubs has hired him, and they've gotten John Lester, outstanding, one of the better left-handed pitchers in baseball. And it's even given them the shot in the arm that there's actually talk of the Chicago Cubs being in the World Series this year. Now, whether that happens or not, but they've got this no-nonsense guy, Joe Maddon. There's a John Maddon that was a pretty good coach himself, but
no doubt.
This is Joe Maddon, the baseball coach.
Yeah, I don't know if Joe Maddon is, hey, there's a touchdown, boom, or anything like that. Well, you know, it would be nice as a Cubs fan, a long-suffering Cubs fan, to see them get out of the cellar of the NL Central. They finished last year 73-89 underwater there, and to get some pride back there and maybe make a run in the postseason once again would be certainly a welcome sight for Cubs fans.
That would be really interesting. What would they do in Chicago if they actually were a winner? I'll tell you, that would be something, wouldn't it?
They would make sure that all goats are barred from the city limits. But we're moving on to a college football topic now. You brought up that there was a prediction made by a writer, and you wanted to discuss it.
Tom Fornelli, who writes with the CBS, I think is, what's his name?
Ion College Football.
Ion
is his
College
blog, yeah.
Okay. He was one of the first ones now to come out with his prediction of who's going to win the major conference championships this year. And he picked Oregon to win the Pac-12 with UCLA coming in second. He's picked, of course, TCU or Baylor to win the Big 12, and Ohio State in the Big 10. He picked Alabama to finish first in the SEC, Auburn second. In the ACC, he's picked Clemson to win with FSU coming in second. So those are the early on, some gazes by Tom Fornelli about what might happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. As we look out here, we're way, way away from the college football season beginning. Obviously, spring football has yet to take place. But you look at the ACC, and that's the one that intrigues me. You talk about Clemson being on top there, or at least the kind of the favorite. I've seen some other publications that have had them as the favorite as well. Florida State has run that league. If Clemson could somehow create some competitiveness there, that could turn into something to watch. And I think for it not to be a walkover for Florida State would be big for them, because obviously they got exposed big time in that Rose Bowl.
Could there be, Jacob, a North Carolina or Miami that steps up and becomes the TCU? We were talking about a few minutes ago, the TCU of next year.
Well, it would be about time. As we continue, we will discuss more topics this offseason. College basketball is in full swing, and here in the SEC, we have two teams that are on fire right now. Of course, Kentucky continues. They're 25-0 now, going for history as they try to get an undefeated season accomplished and a national title. Interesting stat, there have been only four teams to lose the college basketball national championship and come back the next year to win it all. The last one to do it was in 1998, and it was the Kentucky Wildcats.
Well, another fact along that line is that two of the teams that were in the Final Four might not even make the tournament this year, and that is UConn and Florida.
We haven't discussed also the quarterback that Oregon got, Vernon Adams. This is a big story around the nation as they were able to get him from Eastern Washington University. And the Eastern Washington coach is pretty upset because he feels like Oregon has not prepared for this. They have not developed quarterbacks, and therefore they're just, I don't want to say cheating, but they're using them as a farm system when that's not the case. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think that they ought to be able to use these schools to because, I mean, obviously the quarterback would rather finish his career with a chance to be like Marcus Mariota and a Heisman contender. Do you think it's fair?
No, I don't. I think that say Eastern Washington, they have spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of coaching, a lot of all the kind of things that you do to build this guy up. And here he is senior year. Because of this rule, he can change. Now, to me, that's totally different than Russell Wilson. If you remember Russell Wilson, who was at North Carolina State, and because he played baseball, the coach, which is his right to do, and it might have been good for his program, decided that either he's going to be a full-time football player or he's going to have another quarterback. Well, Russell Wilson then went out and more or less went around and was recruited and chose to go to Wisconsin. I think that was totally different, even though I think the rule should be done away with.
Very interesting. Solid comments there from the college football professor. We will be back soon, and we will continue to talk about these off-season topics as we continue. We are now less than 200 days. If I'm not mistaken, it's 198 days until the start of the 2015 college football season, so just a few hours, we're right around the corner. We'll be back with you soon on BunnSports.com. For the college football professor, I'm Jacob Bunn.